Thank you, Vardui. That was really beautiful. And yeah, we'll join with you in praying for Ukraine. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, which Joshua is then going to preach from. So if you've got your Bibles and you would like to turn to Matthew chapter 28, I'll be reading from verse 16 to 20. And then afterwards from Acts 13. So if you'd like a church Bible, Martin and Fernando are coming round. Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And then from Acts chapter 13, verses 46 to 49. Acts 13, 46 to 49. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. Amen. Let's just pray for Joshua now before he comes to speak to us. Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word and for its truth as relevant to us today as in the times when Jesus walked on the earth and spoke face to face with his disciples. We thank you that you are here amongst us this morning by your Spirit. We thank you for Joshua and Vardui, for the gifts that you have placed in them, for their passion to proclaim your word amongst the nations. And I pray for your anointing, Holy Spirit, on Joshua now as he speaks to us this morning. Pray you will bless his preparation. I pray you will strengthen him and uphold him as he speaks. Give him the energy and the strength to do that. And give us ears to listen to the message you have for us and hearts to respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Simon, and good morning, New Malden Baptist Church. It's great to be with you this morning, and thanks to Paul for the spirit-filled worship today, and thank you to Vardui for the beautiful song, the beautiful prayer for Ukraine, and thank you to all of you for your warm welcome this morning. Now, you know, it's true what Paul said. Simon is one of our star students at Spurgeon's College, and I and my colleagues, we do think very highly of Simon, and we are really excited when we think about all the great things that God has in store for him and in his ministry in the years ahead. So I bring with me warm greetings from my friends and colleagues and students at Spurgeon's College, and also from Dnipro Hope Mission, which is our charity. We have a ministry in Ukraine. I'm going to be speaking about that in the sermon today. And I also bring greetings from my dad, from Roy Searle. I don't know if anyone knows my dad, Roy Searle. He sends his greetings to you all the way from Northumbria, from the Northumbria community. So I think he used to preach at New Malden a number of years ago. But I'm really grateful for this opportunity, grateful to Johnny, my good friend, for this this opportunity. And I should say that I've got my my notes, my New Testament on my phone. You know that this is a Christian phone, don't you? It's a Christian phone. It's not contract. It's pray as you go, and it's even a Nokia. Nokia, and the door shall be opened unto you. I've got all of the notes here. Sorry, for those who remember my dad's sermons, the only difference between me and my dad is that his jokes are even worse than mine. Anyway, let's get on with the sermon. So Johnny and Simon have kindly invited me to speak to you today about mission. And I'd like to begin by telling you a little story which illustrates what I want to say. It's a story told by one of my favorite German theologians. I always say to Simon and the other students, if you want to impress your congregation, mention a German theologian in your sermon. And this particular German theologian was called Helmut Tillich. And Tillich describes how one day he went for a bike ride through the beautiful Black Forest region in southern Germany. Does anyone know the Black Forest, the Schwarzwald? Has anyone been there? A few of you. It's very beautiful. It's quite hilly, not ideal for cycling. But Tillich was going for a bike ride through the Black Forest. And what tends to happen when you're cycling is that you're burning lots of calories. You get hungry very, very quickly. And Tillich has been cycling for a few hours. He realizes that he hasn't brought enough food with him. And he gets out his map and he sees, to his horror, that he's about at least an hour's bike ride away from the nearest village. He's in the absolute middle of nowhere. And so Tillich, he's a man of God. And so he starts to pray. And he prays that God would send him some food miraculously, or that he'd be able to find some shop or some kiosk at the side of the road or whatever, anything, because he's really hungry. So this is his prayer. And within about 5 minutes of cycling down a small country lane in the middle of absolutely nowhere, Tillich's eyes alight upon an enormous sign. And what is this sign displaying? A huge, great big piece of delicious Black Forest gâteau. And next to the sign with the gâteau, there are various other signs with pastries and freshly baked bread. And so Tillich, he can't actually believe his luck. He thinks this must be a God moment. And here in the middle of nowhere, there's this random shop with all these signs displaying delicious food. And it's as if God has answered his prayer and he sent some manna from heaven. And so Tillich, he gets off his bike and he walks straight into the shop. And he says to the shopkeeper, he says, "Please, sir, can I have a piece of that delicious Black Forest gâteau? And while you're at it, can I have some of that freshly baked bread and some of those pastries, just like the ones on the sign outside the door?" But the shopkeeper gives Tillich a bemused look. And he says to Tillich, he says, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir. We're just a shop that sells signs." And so you can imagine poor Tillich. He walks out of the shop. He's feeling pretty dejected. He's still really hungry. He's a long way from any food. And so he has to get back on his bike, and he starts to laugh a little bit about what's happened. 5 minutes later, he begins to weep. So why is he crying? He's crying because he senses that God has just spoken to him in this incident. He has a presentiment that God has spoken to him. And so what has God told him? He senses that God has told him that he is part of a church that just sells signs. So why do I tell this story about the Black Forest Gatto and the shop that just sold the signs? Well, the reason is that when I read my Bible, and especially when I read these passages that Simon has just read to us, and especially Jesus' words in the Great Commission from Matthew's Gospel, I begin to realize that being a Christian is not about performing spectacular signs or even having moving experiences of worship. Being a Christian is all about mission. This is what gives substance to our lives as Christians. It's all about becoming disciples of the risen Lord Jesus and then inviting others to receive Jesus and to receive his gospel of new life and salvation. Mission is all about shining the light of Christ in the dark places of the world. Just a few weeks ago, there was all this fuss about Halloween. But we should be people of the light. We don't celebrate the darkness. We celebrate the light, the coming of the one who is the light of the world into the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So a church without mission is like a shop that just sells signs. A church that isn't involved in mission is a dead church. In the same way that a body without a heart is a dead body, mission is the heart and essence of what it means to be a Christian. It's like Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was the founder of the college where I work, where Simon is studying, and I think also where Johnny, your minister, studied a few years ago. Charles Spurgeon, the founder of our college, he said that every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. And the church exists by mission in the same way that a fire exists by burning. And I know that Johnny's vision for you here at New Malden Baptist Church is that you would be a genuinely missional church. So today I want to encourage you to be, not to be like a shop that just sells signs, and I know that you're not, but to be like a light on a hill, a genuine missional church that radiates the love and the compassion of Christ in the world in real and tangible ways, and that you'd be an outward-looking community, a community that wants to take the gospel into all the nations of the earth. And this is precisely what we're trying to do with Dnipro Hope Mission. This is our charity that we're representing here today. So the sole purpose of what we do as Dnipro Hope Mission, or DHM, as we call ourselves, the reason why we exist is to follow Jesus, to do what we can to participate in this great commission which Jesus has given to us, to shine the light of Christ into the dark places of the world. That's our vision. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about the work that we're doing to spread the gospel in Ukraine. But I first just want to tell you, I want us to think a little bit about what mission is all about. So what is mission? And why is mission so central to our lives? Well, I could ask you this question and find out what the answer would be. I could pretend that we're in a Spurgeon's College lecture, and I could maybe pick on someone. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that. I can maybe pick on Simon a little bit later. He's done the introduction to mission course, so he should have all the answers. But no pressure on Simon. But the word mission, you know what this actually means? The word itself is derived from a Latin verb, missio. And the word missio means simply to send something, like to send a letter or whatever. Now what's implied here is the idea of the Father sending the Son into the world. And the mission of God, so literally, the mission of God, it means literally the sending of God, refers to the sending of the Father and the Son, sending the Holy Spirit into the world to empower gospel proclamation. As Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 16, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will send to you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to help you and to be with you forever. And in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, the apostle Peter prophesies that in the last days, God says, I'm going to send my Spirit. In fact, I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit on all flesh. So God sends his Spirit into the world, and the reason why God sends his Spirit into the world isn't just so that we can have a great time when we're worshiping. The main reason why God sends his Spirit into the world is to empower his church for evangelism, for the proclamation of the gospel message, to spread the good news about Jesus, the gospel of salvation, to bring this good news to all the peoples of the earth. And staying with this idea of mission ascending, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, in the same way that the Father has sent me, so I am now sending you, and he's addressing all of us here today, so I now send you into the world. And so, God sends us his power from on high so that we can go out into the world and proclaim the gospel of salvation in Christ alone. And so mission from this perspective can be seen as a kind of human participation in the divine sending. The sending of the Father, by the Father of the Son into the world, and then the sending by the Son of the Holy Spirit into the world to empower the church's proclamation of the gospel. So that's our task in a nutshell. Jesus doesn't leave us as orphans. He sends us his Holy Spirit. So this means that when we're engaged in mission, we can be sure, whenever we're bringing the good news of the gospel to the people, we can be absolutely sure that we're not on our own. We don't have to rely on our own strength. We can be sure of power from on high, the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the mission work that we're doing in Ukraine is a response to what we believe is the call of God on our lives to make the name of Jesus Christ known in the beautiful country of Ukraine. So we believe that God is sending us on a mission so that the people of Ukraine can hear the good news of the gospel, so that they can come to a saving faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd like to spend the rest of the time that I have to ask two basic questions. The first question is, what is God doing in Ukraine? What's God doing in Ukraine? That's the first question. The second question is, what can we do to get involved in the work that God is already doing in Ukraine? So many of you will know that Ukraine is a country that has been absolutely devastated by war in recent years. This is a war that we don't often hear about in the news anymore. It seems to have dropped off the agenda. But I can tell you that this war with a very powerful neighbor, with Russia, has already cost the lives of 60,000 people. 2.4 million people. These are United Nations statistics. 2.4 million people in Ukraine have been made homeless. They've been internally displaced by the war. But you know, the war, as terrible as it is, in many ways it's created new opportunities for us to share the gospel of compassion, to show solidarity with our Ukrainian friends. I should have mentioned earlier that I was in Ukraine recently with Vardui, just arrived back about 24 hours ago. The temperature over there is minus 15 with wind chill. It's not even the coldest time of the year. And I seem to have got a little bit of a chill myself. So hopefully my my voice will be able to hold out. I won't have a Theresa May moment. The voice will remain strong and stable throughout the rest of the sermon. But in Ukraine, we've sensed that the people who've been affected by the war are so spiritually hungry. It's incredible. And they're often curious when they see us in Ukraine. We often go out there in the winter, in the depths of the winter, the end of January, beginning of February. We take a team from the UK and we go out to Ukraine to participate in these mission projects. And the people in Ukraine, they ask us, you know, what on earth are you doing in Ukraine? They're always very hospitable. They're always really glad to see us. But they're wondering, what on earth are we doing in Ukraine? End of January, beginning of February, the temperatures can plummet to about minus 25 degrees. And we can just say simply, we're in Ukraine because we're Christians. We're in Ukraine because we love God. And out of this overflow of our love for God, we love other people. That's why we're there. And especially people who are sick, people who are needy, people who are oppressed, people who are lonely, people who are diseased, people who are depressed. And one of our key mission partners in eastern Ukraine, Dnipro, by the way, is the name for the region. It's also it's the name of the river that runs, kind of bisects, cuts Ukraine in half, the main big river, the Dnieper, or the Dnipro, as it's also known. And the Dnipro is actually a region in eastern Ukraine. So Dnipro Hope Mission is about bringing hope to the people of this region in eastern Ukraine. And one of our main partners in eastern Ukraine, the Dnipro region, is a guy called Pastor Alexander. And Alexander just reminds me so much of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. When I read this passage from Acts chapter 13 that Simon read to us earlier, I just think about Pastor Alexander. And when I accompany Alexander in mission, traveling around Ukraine, I almost feel like I'm in some kind of reenactment from the book of Acts in the present day. We see all the signs and the wonders. We see healings and miracles, which are just kind of everyday occurrences for him. And we also see people coming to faith in the most phenomenal ways. Just a few years ago, with our support, Pastor Alexander is the guy on the left with the dark hair. And I should mention that Pastor Alexander has an assistant minister in Dnipro. This is the guy on the right in the white shirt. And can you guess what his name is? Pastor Alexander. So it's Pastor Alexander and Pastor... It gets quite confusing. And Pastor Alexander and Pastor Alexander planted a church in a disabled home in the Dnipro region, in the absolute middle of nowhere. And the ministry in this care home is absolutely phenomenal. We've already seen dozens of residents coming to a saving faith through this ministry. And when we visited the care home last year, we arranged with Pastor Alexander to buy some huge crates of fresh fruits so that we could give a bunch of bananas and oranges to each of the 153 residents of this care home. And it's interesting to say that when we approached a local supermarket to supply us with all of this fruit, we spoke to the manager, and he was absolutely bemused. And he said, you know, we don't often receive these sorts of requests. Why on earth do you need all of this fruit? And we told him that we were a Christian charity. And we wanted to bless the residents of this care home just down the road from the supermarket. And we wanted to give them the gift, each resident, we wanted to give them a gift of fresh fruit. Now, when we told the manager this, the manager, who wasn't even a Christian, he was really moved by this. And he actually instructed his staff to procure the choicest, best quality fruits at no expense to us. He said that he would incur the costs himself. And so we turned up at this care home with rack upon rack of fresh Del Monte bananas and oranges. And on that occasion, we met with an elderly resident by the name of Svetlana. I'll just show you Svetlana here. And when we gave Svetlana this gift of the fresh fruit, she took the oranges in her hand and she was absolutely astonished. And she told us that she'd been confined to this care home, absolutely miserable, grim conditions, which actually left half of our team in floods of tears because it was all too much to take. Svetlana told us that she'd been confined to this care home for 25 years. And in all of that time, 25 years, she had never seen a single piece of fresh fruit. The first time that she'd seen it. And so she just broke down and cried. Now, it was great to be able to offer the gift, but the meaning of that gift didn't consist in the nutritional value of the fresh fruit or any of the other supplies and the medicines that we were able to bring to Svetlana and the other 152 residents. Because the truth is that we could bring the gift of the fresh fruits, but then the fruit would all have been eaten within a few days, and then soon, you know, sure enough, everyone would be hungry again within a couple of days. So the true value of the gift wasn't in the vitamin C or so much the nutritional value, but in the value of the gift itself. So when Svetlana and the other residents, they asked, you know, why are you doing this? Why have you brought this fruit and these, you know, really good quality medicines and all these other gifts? Well, we could just say simply that we were bringing these gifts because we're Christians and because we serve Jesus and we want people to come to a saving faith in him. And we can say to Svetlana and the others, we can say that it may seem as though everyone has forgotten about you, the world has forgotten about you, but you can be absolutely sure of one thing, that God has not forgotten about you. And he looks upon your suffering with mercy, and he hears your cries, and he responds in grace and compassion. And so we can explain that, yes, we can give food and drink and medicines for the body, but only Jesus can give food and drink for the soul. And Jesus is the bread of life. And this is the kind of bread which isn't going to run out after a few days. And we explain simply that Jesus gives us the gift of eternal life with God. If we repent of our sins and if we turn to him in faith, Jesus gives us the precious gift of life and salvation. So finally, I'd like to tell you about a guy called Dima from the church in Kiev. Kiev is the capital city. I was surprised that Vardui didn't answer that question in the quiz. What's the capital city of Ukraine? And of course, the answer is Kiev. And this is someone to you can see the photo there. On my right, this is someone called Pastor Alexander. A different one. This is Pastor Alexander in Kiev rather than the Pastor Alexander in Dnipro. So it does get really, really confusing when we talk about Pastor Alexander. Another really confusing thing is that Pastor Alexander on the right has an assistant minister, the guy on the left, and can you guess what his name is? What do you think his name is? It's actually Boris, but you were close. No, actually, I was only joking. It is actually Alexander. Believe it or not. So Pastor Alexander has an assistant whose name is Pastor Alexander. I think it's just a coincidence, but you'd almost think that in order to be a Baptist minister in Ukraine, you have to be called Alexander. But Pastor Alexander and Pastor Alexander in Kiev have the most amazing ministry to the disabled people that I have ever seen in my life. It is absolutely phenomenal. And we were just blown away when we were there. And through this amazing ministry in Kiev, dozens and dozens of precious people with all kinds of disabilities have come to a living, saving faith in Jesus Christ. But the beauty of this ministry, it's not just that people have come to faith, but after they've been baptized, they're brought into a Christ-centered community. And they're offered such warmth and hospitality. And they've even created a little kind of church within a church, which is led by the two Pastor Alexanders. And when we were there, when we were visiting the church, it was only back in February this year, we met a young guy called Dima. And Dima used to spend his whole life locked away in a small room in a tiny flat. It was his mum's flat in the suburbs, in the outskirts of Kiev, nearby the church where Alexander has his ministry. Pastor Alexander found out about this young man, Dima, and he went to his flat and he began to talk to him about Jesus. And to cut a long story short, Dima, who was in his early 20s at the time, Dima comes to faith. He gives his life to Christ. And the only problem was, after Dima came to faith, was that his mum really didn't approve at all about her son's newfound faith. And she actually prevented Dima from visiting Pastor Alexander's church. But Dima was very persistent, and he just kept crying and saying to his mom he really wanted to, you know, to go to this church and to be part of this community. And eventually, Dima's mom relented. After several months, Dima's mom relented, but she was still very suspicious, and so she decided that she needed to go along just to make sure that her son was being well looked after. Do I need to tell you the rest of the story? Dima's mum comes to the church, she hears about Jesus, she gives her life to Christ. Shortly after, Dima gets baptized by Pastor Alexander, shortly followed by his mum. In fact, I just want to show you a short video of Dima's baptism. It was actually recorded, and we've got a video of it. And in the video, there are actually three young people who are being baptized. Dima is the guy, I think he's the second guy, with the blonde hair. And the pastor performing the baptisms is our friend, Pastor Alexander. So I'll let you see this this amazing video. I should just say, just before we start the video, that unfortunately, we don't have a translation. They're all speaking Russian. And during the baptism, Pastor Alexander asks Dima if he confesses his sins and if he believes that Christ has the power to forgive his sins and to lead him into new light. And as you'll see, Dima answers with the emphatic response. He says, does anyone know what the Russian word for yes is? Da, very good. Da, очень хорошо. Наверное, я могу проповедовать на русском языке. Вы меня понимаете. Хорошо. Дорогие братья и сестры, приветствую вас во имя нашего Господа Иисуса Христа. Хорошо. I'm not going to speak Russian. Maybe I can speak part of the sermon in Russian, but I'm going to speak in English. Don't worry. But in this video, you'll hear some Russian. And Dima, in response to Pastor Alexander's questions, he responds with an emphatic "Da, veruyu," which means "Yes, I believe." And then he's baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I'll just let you watch this amazing video in Kiev, and I pray that God would bless you through it. Praise God. What a blessing, what a privilege it is. This is one of the summer camps that we were involved with. As Dnipro Hope Mission, we helped to support. And this year, we're actually taking a group from the UK out to Kiev to be involved in this mission, to get alongside Pastor Alexander and his team in Kiev. So we'll be taking a group out to Ukraine in July to help with this just absolutely remarkable ministry. So this is the privilege, this is the blessing that we have as Dnipro Hope Mission, as DHM. It's our little charity, or we like to think of it as a little mustard seed in God's kingdom. And we pray that God would continue to resource and to grow this ministry so that we can continue to see even more precious people like Dima and Svetlana and others, so that they can come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's essentially what we're all about as a charity. This is what we're trying to do, working in collaboration with our partners in Ukraine. And whether we're talking about Dima or Svetlana or whoever, we believe the words of Jesus. You remember when Jesus says, "As much as you did to the least of these my people, you did unto me." And these words, these verses from Matthew 25 have been absolutely foundational to what we are and what we do as a ministry in Ukraine. And so we'd love if you'd be able to journey with us, whether as individuals, whether as a family, as a church family. We'd love you to journey with us as we seek to proclaim the good news about Jesus in Ukraine through this ministry. And in our mind's eye, we can begin to see the kingdom of God coming in power to the people of Ukraine. The Spirit of God is at work in Ukraine. And we have this presentiment that the kingdom of God is about to break forth and is about to yield a mighty harvest of the gospel. And as a charity, one of our strategic aims going forward is we'd like to build what we call a house of hope. The Russian word is Dom Nadezhdy, or in Ukrainian, Dim Nadiyi. And we'd like to build these houses of hope in towns and cities throughout Ukraine, beginning in Pastor Alexander's hometown. This is the Pastor Alexander in Dnipro, beginning in his hometown. And these houses would offer safe spaces where people could come, where they could receive warmth and hospitality, where they could hear about the gospel of Christ. If any of you know anything about the Northumbria community and the ethos of the Northumbria community and its availability and vulnerability. This is what we're looking to do, albeit contextualized to the Ukraine situation. So we see great spiritual potential and life and vitality in this vision. The problem is that in Ukraine, although the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are very few. And so we'd love you to partner and to journey with us in bringing the gospel to this beautiful land and its people in Ukraine. We've already seen dozens of people come to faith, but we're not resting on our laurels. We believe that God has even greater things in store for this ministry by his grace. And so in the next few months, and more long term, in the next few years, thinking strategically, we'd like to, a big part of our plan is to help to build bridges between churches, especially Baptist churches, both here in the UK and in Ukraine. And when we go out to Ukraine as a charity, when we lead mission teams, Vardu and I, when we take mission teams out to Ukraine, it's really important to us that we avoid any impression of being the rich Westerners with the money and with the resources, and we're just writing checks to churches. We've discovered as a charity that this is a road to nowhere and it doesn't help anyone. This isn't what we mean when we talk about partnership. What we're interested in as a charity, as DHM, we're interested in genuine bilateral partnerships where we have as much to gain and to learn from our Ukrainian partners as they have to learn and gain from us. And so if New Malden Baptist Church, if you're interested in this kind of partnership with DHM and linking up with these ministries like Pastor Alexander's ministry in Kiev, the other Pastor Alexander in Dnipro, then we hope that one day many of you would be able to come with us to Ukraine. You'd be able to share the gospel, join one of our mission teams. That would be fantastic. But we'd also hope that you'd be able to invite people like Pastor Alexander, who you've just seen in the video. You might be able to invite him to New Malden. He's a great preacher. He'd be able to preach God's word to you. He'd be able to tell you the stories, all the things that God is doing in Ukraine today. And he'll be able to tell the stories much better than I can tell them. You know, so that you can be encouraged and you can gain something from him rather than just a kind of one-way relationship. So we're interested in dignity and not dependence. This is one of the core values of DHM, dignity, not dependence for the people that God calls us to serve and to love in Jesus' name. But the ministry in Ukraine, obviously if we're thinking about the House of Hope, the ministry does need resources. Last year we were able to scrape together some funds to be able to purchase a little minibus, which has become an amazing tool of ministry for Pastor Alexander as he goes around the villages in the middle of nowhere in eastern Ukraine, literally bringing the church to the people where they are, leading groups of people from his church and going out to orphanages and care homes and conducting impromptu worship services in these places. So we have this minibus ministry, but obviously the minibus needs maintenance and it needs fuel, and you know, all these projects that we have in mind, the House of Hope, this is going to require substantial resources and prayer. So if you do sense God's leading to give to this ministry, this would be massively, massively, massively appreciated. So please come and speak to us after the service. If you'd like to be involved either in supporting the ministry financially or if you'd like to join one of our mission teams going out to Ukraine, we lead a winter mission trip and we also lead a summer trip. So if this is of interest to you, please come and speak to us at the end. And I should say as well that whether or not you're able to give a gift, one thing that you can do is to pray for us. We've brought a couple of gifts along. We've got some of the official DHM mugs here, which you can see with our logo and with the badge, and we've got some books as well to give away. If you take a mug, it means that every time you have a cup of tea, you can pray for Pastor Alexander Pastor Alexander in Kiev and in Dnipro. So, finally, I realize I need to bring things to a close. My prayer for you here at this church is that God would send His Spirit, not just send His Spirit upon you, but that He would pour out His Spirit upon you. And that you old people, are there any old people here today in the church? Old folks? No old folks? Okay. One or two. Old people, I thank God for you, and I pray that God would pour out His Spirit upon you and that you would dream dreams. And young people, any young people here today? Young folks, lots of people? Yeah, okay. Put your hand up, Simon. So, young people, I pray that God would pour out His Spirit upon you today and that you would have visions. And I know the plans that God has for you and for this church. And I know that you have great, tremendous spiritual power and vitality. So please don't underestimate what you can achieve in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know the plans that God has for you as a church. These are plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but plans to give you a future and a hope. So may the Lord bless you. Дорогие братья и сестры, приветствую вас, благословляю вас во имя нашего Господа Иисуса Христа. That's a Russian blessing for all of you. In the name of Jesus, Amen.